Welcome to Golau, where we shed some light on politics, policy and polling in Wales and the world. This episode of Golau features the Wales Governance Centre's customary pre-election briefing. Delivered ahead of the first leaders' debate in the Pierhead building in Cardiff Bay, Professor Roger Scully delves deep into the data and shares with his audience some of the most interesting findings.
Rodayaki Geed, good morning to you all. So, we didn't, I think most of us, expect to be here right now talking about a general election. Theresa May had said repeatedly that there wasn't going to be one, but now one we have. And so what we're going to do this morning, for the next half hour or so, is look at some of the background to the election, look at what the polling suggests is the current standing of the parties, the most important issues in the election, and a few other related matters there, and then try to look in some detail at the electoral background, particularly here in Wales. What sort of election do we look to be having, and what might be the implications there for the different parties in terms of seats, both gains and losses? So, start off with, as many of you here will be aware, the long historical background of elections in Wales is defined by, I think, two principal facts. One of them is the very long-standing dominance of the Labour Party, lasting almost a century now. Labour have come first in every general election in Wales from 1922 onwards, both in votes and seats. The last person to defeat Labour in a general election in Wales was Lloyd George, and he had to win a world war to do it. There's an even longer standing history, though, of conservative relative weakness, of underperformance. Because before Labour dominance, we had roughly a half century of Liberal hegemony leading in the years up to World War I. The last time the Conservatives won a general election here in Wales was in the 1850s, which I suspect nobody here can quite remember. And if we look to the most recent general election, I mean, that was a relatively good performance by the Conservative Party. Their 11 seats was the largest number the Conservatives had won in Wales since the great post-Falklands Thatcher landslide of 1983. Nonetheless, the Labour Party, although underperforming its own expectations in Wales, actually losing ground slightly rather than gaining seats, still won 62.5% of the seats in Wales, 25 of the 40. And this couple of slides, the election result from 2 years ago, first of all at the UK level. Note, interestingly, that the Labour Party actually increased its vote share from 2010 by almost twice as much as the Conservatives did, but the Conservatives gained seats and the Labour lost them. Partly that's a Scotland effect, but also partly that testifies to the extreme effectiveness of the Conservative campaign 2 years ago in getting the votes where they needed them. We also noticed from last time, obviously, one of the other big stories of the election, the rise of the SNP. Going from having six seats to 56, a rise, if I remember correctly, of roughly 833% in their parliamentary representation, becoming the third largest party. Liberal Democrats, of course, we saw crashing through the floor. And the other major story, I suppose, from last time was UKIP getting lots of votes, but only one seat. In Wales, we saw a not very different picture. The Labour Party increasing its vote share a little bit, but actually losing ground in terms of representation marginally. Conservatives having a relatively small gain in terms of vote share, but winning three extra seats because of that. Plaid Cymru up almost the same amount in terms of vote share as the Conservatives, but stagnant in terms of seats. Little Democrats again falling back. And of course, UKIP doing very well in Wales in terms of vote share, saving every single deposit in all 40 constituencies, but not actually coming anywhere close to winning a seat in Wales. One final thing, by the way, just to say about last time. It was talked about in some places that the election showed Wales converging strongly on English electoral preferences. This is, I think, not to put too fine a point on it, nonsense. This chart here shows something called an index of dissimilarity. Basically, looks at general election results post-war in Scotland and Wales and says how dissimilar or similar were they to election results in England in terms of which parties won the seats and the votes. This is done on votes. And basically, the blue line is Scotland. Scotland used to actually be more similar to England than Wales was. But then in the last couple of elections, Scotland has really become its own electoral arena, almost wholly different from prevailing political trends in England. In Wales, basically, things have bobbled along at pretty much the same level right throughout the post-war era. We're a bit different from England, but not massively so. There was a very small decline last time, but very much still to the long-term average. So Wales still remains somewhat electorally distinct from England. You know, we had Vote Supply Cymru, we had a somewhat higher Labour vote share. There's no real strong convergence on the English pattern of voting behaviour. Okay. So what's happened since then? A couple of slides here. First of all, this is, I think up until yesterday, all of the GB-wide polls conducted since the last general election, say up until yesterday. The dots are individual results for a party. The solid lines are the trend lines. So we can see since the last general election, the Conservatives have basically always been in the lead. Something of a dip last year, the unpopular budget, Panama Papers, junior doctor strike, and various other things which hit at Conservative support. Then after the Brexit referendum and Theresa May becoming Prime Minister, a spike in their support, holding roughly at that level until the election was called, and then a further upward spike in Conservative support, up to a level averaging around about 45-46%. The Labour Party, since the election, there's the Corbyn bounce when he was elected leader. If you squint very hard, you can just about see it. Then the party, more or less going at roughly an equal level, up a bit as the Conservatives had a difficult spring last year, then slowly slipping until recently, when actually their support has firmed up since the general election was called. UKIP, we see doing all right until recently, and now their support seems to be tailing off quite dramatically. The hashtag Lib Dem fight back, I think it's there. Again, that we're not seeing a great deal in terms of upward movement. They're a little modest trend. They're a bit higher than they were, but not much. We have a somewhat fewer number of polls in Wales since the last general election, but more than we used to have. These showed, again, the Labour Party, again, there's the Corbyn bounce, lasted all of one poll, and then things were back down to where they were. Since then, the Labour Party was gradually going downwards. The broad trend was downwards until our most recent poll. Whereas with the GB-wide polls, we've seen some firming up of Labour support in the election campaign. But the big changes are, well, first of all, this Conservative line. After Theresa May becomes Prime Minister, the Conservatives go up a bit and hold more or less steady. And then the last couple of polls, they've gone up significantly. And we actually now see the Conservatives in the last two polls in a clear lead in Wales, which we haven't seen before. Ever, really, pretty much. The other giant, UKIP were in third place at Westminster voting intentions, and then things started to decline, and now they've been declining very rapidly recently. The most recent poll, we had them on 4%. In fact, that 4% was actually rounded up from 3.6. So they only need to go a little bit further to be rounded down to 3%. I mean, they seem to be rapidly descending back into minor party status here in Wales. Not much upward trend for the Liberal Democrats. And Plaid Cymru also holding fairly steady, but not obviously moving forward either. So that's sort of the background, how things have developed over the last 2 years. I want to look in a little bit more detail now as where the party stands on the latest polling evidence, both UK-wide and in Wales, but also look in a little bit more detail at some facts that some elements of the most recent Welsh poll. So looking not just at the overall standing of the parties, but public evaluations of the party leaders, looking at what voters seem to suggest are the key campaign issues this time around, and how the parties are evaluated in terms of their potential to deal with some of those issues. So this is the latest, as of this morning, from the June 27 New Statesman website, the average of the GB-wide polls. And the numbers here have in brackets the change since the party's vote share 2 years ago. So we see the Conservatives roughly 10 points ahead, Britain-wide, of where they were in their election victory 2 years ago. That's clearly a very good position in which to be. The Labour Party is not actually that much further behind, that much down on its vote share from 2 years ago. The problem for them, obviously, is that their main opponent is moving ahead very substantially. The Liberal Democrats, the fight back has not won back a great deal of territory yet. They're only up marginally. And as well as the Conservative upward movement, the other big change, obviously, is UKIP, who rapidly are descending in the polls back into minor party status, as I said, down roughly 8 percentage points from just 2 years ago. We see in Wales, on the most recent poll, actually an even more dramatic upward movement in the Conservatives' support. In Wales, the most recent poll had the Conservatives up very nearly 14 full percentage points from their vote share just 2 years ago. Again, we see with Labour actually not much downward movement. So this is not really a story of Labour support collapsing so much as a substantial advance by the Conservative Party. The most recent poll in Wales had Plaid Cymru down a little bit from where they were at the last general election. Now, I should say, at roughly an equivalent point in the last campaign, there was a poll that had Plaid Cymru down on 9%. So who knows, but with leader debates and exposure for Leanne Wood, they may well get some upward movement. But at the moment, they're obviously not making any great advances. And similarly, the Liberal Democrats in Wales, as across Britain, are not really making substantial ground back after their dreadful election performance 2 years ago. Again, the other big change, as well as the upward Conservative movement, is the downward movement for UKIP. UKIP's 13.6% last time didn't get them close to winning a seat, or 4% certainly isn't going to get them anywhere close to winning a seat this time, unless that changes. The other evidence from the recent poll, the party leaders obviously are absolutely central to parties' election campaigns. We're going to be seeing them in leaders' debates, including the first Welsh one on ITV tonight. So we have continued in our Welsh Political Barometer polls to ask people to evaluate the party leaders. The normal question we ask is a simple 0 to 10 scale, where 0 means you strongly dislike someone, 10 means you strongly like them. How would you rate all of the following party leaders? We also give people a don't know option, and that can actually be quite useful, because while some people can say don't know because they genuinely are undecided for some reason, in the aggregate, the percentage of people who say don't know is actually quite a good sort of proxy measure for just how visible, how well known with the public are individual leaders. So I'm going to show you two slides. First of all, just one about the visibility of the party leaders. This is just the percentage of people who say don't know about it yet or unable to offer a view. Obviously, very few people don't have a view about Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn. But very close to a third of our sample, after he's been in the job for nearly 2 years, still were unable to offer a view of Tim Fallon. Not far short of two-fifths still hadn't developed a view of Paul Nuttall, although, as I'll show in the next slide, given what the views that people do have a view of him, what views those are, that's maybe not a bad thing. We see the most well-known devolved level politicians, Calvin Jones and Leanne Wood, are significantly sort of less visible than Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn, but still have apparently a higher public profile, say, than Tim Fallon or Paul Nuttall. The new leader of the Welsh Liberal Democrats, Mark Williams, roughly two-thirds of our sample were unable to offer a view on him. Then in terms of those people who did offer a view, the average ratings out of 10. Now, first thing to point out about this next slide is nobody even averages 5 out of 10. So, politicians in unpopularity shock. So when we talk about popularity, this is something of a relative thing. But for a couple of years now, clearly, among the most relatively popular politicians in Wales have been Calvin Jones and Leanne Wood. And sometimes in one poll, one of them is marginally ahead of the other, sometimes it's the other one, but they've both been averaging around about 4.5 to 5 out of 10 consistently for the last couple of years. Since she became Conservative Party leader and Prime Minister, Theresa May has been evaluated very, very much the same level. And they have consistently, in a poll since last summer, been the three most popular politicians in Wales by some distance. Jeremy Corbyn, even in Wales and Labour's ultimate bastion, lags substantially behind, almost a full point on the 0 to 10 scale behind Theresa May in most of the polls. The most recent one had him quite a long way behind Theresa May. Tim Fallon, not only do lots of people not know who he is, but those who do are not on average generally very impressed. But the two worst ratings leaders here are for the UK and Welsh leaders of UKIP. Lots of people don't know who Paul Nuttall is. Those who do don't seem to generally like him. And the only person who makes Paul Nuttall look good on this chart is Neil Hamilton. He averages 1.9 out of 10. I have asked YouGov to check, and they can't find anywhere any politician who's ever averaged lower than that in any surveys they've run, ever, anywhere. I would suspect that this is not an electoral advantage to UKIP. Okay, I'd now like to talk a little bit just about issues. We also asked in the most recent poll for people to indicate from a long list of potential issues that we gave them, what were the most important issues in the forthcoming general election. We allowed people to indicate up to three that they thought were important issues. So you'll note here there's percentages here. The percentages do add up to more than 100 because that's people could choose up to three issues. So what were the most important ones? Well, the most important one by some distance that people chose was Brexit. Theresa May has sought to make this a Brexit-focused election. And the evidence from our poll, the evidence indeed from several of the GB-wide polls, is that thus far this is working. Yeah. So it's not the economy, it's not the health service that's coming out as clearly the most important issue for the largest number of voters, but Brexit. Second issue was health, but quite some way behind Brexit. Third was the amalgam, not an amalgam I'm particularly comfortable with, but anyway, an amalgam that's been put in of asylum and immigration issues. And the economy is only fourth. I mean, something which, say, in the 2010 election would have been pretty much unimaginable, but now the economy is only ranked fourth in these lists. And then after it come various other issues, welfare benefits, education, pensions, housing, and so on. Powers for Wales, by the way, we put in, that was named by, I think, 5% of respondents as one of the most important issues in the election. As well as asking what are the issues that matter, we also asked people to rate the parties in terms of which party would be the best at handling a number of the different issues. Now, we included some issues which ostensibly would not appear to be at stake in this election, like the health service and education. They are, of course, devolved matters, but we also know from lots of polling evidence that plenty of people are rather vague about their dividing lines of responsibility. And we saw in this previous chart that lots of people think in this election, health and education in Wales are major issues in the election. So we asked people about which parties would be best to handle some of these issues. So first of all, the good news for the Labour Party. They're still the most positively evaluated party for handling the National Health Service. Conservatives second, the other parties a long way behind. And lots of people, as they did on all of these questions, saying no party or don't know. On education, another devolved matter, not actually at stake in this election, the Labour Party enjoys a narrow advantage over the Conservative Party. But when we look at some of the other issues, things start to look significantly less good for Labour. So, for instance, on asylum and immigration issues, the Conservatives are a long way ahead of Labour in terms of being evaluated as the best party to handle this. We asked about law and order. Again, the Conservatives are a long way ahead. The economy and Brexit in particular, a very substantial advantage for the Conservatives. They are much more positively evaluated in terms of their ability to handle that issue than any other party. And given that's apparently, according to most voters, the most important issue in the campaign, that's clearly playing significantly to the Conservatives' advantage. Okay. The final thing I'd like to talk about before you get a welcome relief from me is then the electoral battleground in Wales. What seats are potentially in play? In what direction might particular places go? Now, how I'm going to present this, well, talk for each party about four different categories of seats, according to whether the party currently holds the seat or doesn't hold it, and whether that party is in a position of, that seat is competitive or uncompetitive. Obviously, for a party, if they hold a seat and it's uncompetitive, what that means is it's a safe seat for them, that they can be pretty certain of retaining that seat. The seat that they hold, where they're in a competitive position, that means one where they're having to make an active defence. If they're uncompetitive in a non-held seat, that means that it's one that's completely hopeless for them. And a competitive one, which they don't hold, those are the target seats. Those are the places that they're going actively out to win or should be going actively out to win. So how then does this sort of grid map onto the different political parties? I'll start, as is still, I think, conventional in Wales, I'll start with the Labour Party. They hold 25 seats. How many of these can we say are genuinely still uncompetitive safe seats? I would estimate 10 to 12 South Wales seats, and no more than that, given the current polling trends. There is in this general election, I would say, no safe territory for Labour in Wales north of Merthyr Tydfil and Rhymney. The five seats that Labour holds north of there are all potentially at risk, as indeed are a number of those in South Wales. So pretty much half or more of all of the seats that Labour holds in Wales are, I think, clearly potentially vulnerable. The majority of their currently held seats. And in terms of those which they don't hold, well, given the polling trends and given the results last time, it's actually pretty difficult to see the Labour Party having serious chances in any of the 15 seats that they don't currently have. And Gower is an obvious one to think that might well be very competitive. It is on paper the most marginal seat anywhere in the UK, won by fewer than 30 votes last time. But one from a Conservative Party who are now apparently 14 points further ahead in the polls. And for the Labour Party to recapture even a seat on paper as marginal as Gower, there would need to be, well, either a big change around in the last 3 weeks of the campaign, or the polls to be horribly wrong, or for the Labour Party campaign in Gower to be spectacularly effective in counteracting national trends. Or maybe some combination of those three. But even a seat like Gower looks like it's going to be a very difficult ask for the Labour Party in this sort of electoral environment. In a different environment, clearly it would be very much in play. It looks much more difficult this year. For the Conservative Party then, their 11 currently held seats, given how well they're doing in the national polls, all ought to be fairly safe. And as I say, Gower is the most obviously marginal one, but if you can't hold a seat when you're up 14 percentage points in the polls, there's something wrong, seriously wrong, with your local campaign. In terms of where the Conservatives are still likely to be uncompetitive, in quite a few South Wales seats, particularly those, probably the majority of the Valley seats, the Conservatives are starting from so far behind that even if they are making very major advances on the national vote, it's difficult to see them actually winning those seats. There isn't a great Conservative tradition in the Rhondda or various other Valley seats. Conservatives would have to be making disproportionate gains of a very large magnitude to be actually gaining some of those seats. But nonetheless, there's still something like 10 to maybe at the outside 12 seats that look as if the Conservatives are seriously competitive. I personally would be a little bit surprised if they actually gain all of those, but seats where I think you cannot rule out the Conservative Party having a significant chance of winning. For Plaid Cymru, of the three seats they hold, the safest looks like being Arfon. They held reasonably well last time, where Labour was in second place. There are other two seats they've held, Dyfed Meirionnydd in Carmarthen East and Dyneva. I don't look ultra-marginal at all on paper, but again, if the Conservatives really are advancing very substantially, they start to look as if they might get close. Obviously, a lot of that will partly depend on local factors, but just if you project the national poll figures onto those seats, they start to look actually potentially quite close and competitive. In terms of seats that Plaid don't hold where they're uncompetitive, pretty much any of the current Conservative seats, and actually still the majority of the Labour seats. Lots of Labour seats are under peril this year, but not many of them probably from Plaid Cymru. Where Plaid Cymru would seem to have serious chances, well, obviously Ynys Môn. They missed out fairly narrowly last time, and of course their candidate this time is the only person who's ever won Ynys Môn for Plaid in a Westminster context. Ceredigion, they fell rather further short last time. Of course, Mark Williams does have a very substantial constituency profile there, but if the Liberal Democrats are continuing to struggle, that's another possibility. Beyond that, you're having to look at, you know, substantial swings in favour of Plaid Cymru. Now, of course, they did have one or two in the Assembly election last year, notably in Blaenau Gwent and the Rhondda. And given the scale of the campaign, for instance, that was fought in the Rhondda, doubtless Plaid Cymru have lots of good voter ID information there. Nonetheless, there's a 23-point margin for Plaid Cymru to make up in the Rhondda. So if they were to have peaked Leanne Wood's victory from last year there, they're going to need to turn things around in a fairly major way. And the Liberal Democrats, well, their slide is nice and simple because, well, they only hold one seat, Ceredigion. They probably ought to hold that again, but there's going to be some at least significant competition from Plaid Cymru for that. On the seats which they don't hold, Cardiff Central would seem to be their best possibility, but still, you know, they lost it by a fair margin last time. The other two seats which they used to hold in Powys, Montgomery and Brecon and Radnor, you know, the Liberal Democrats regaining those in the context of the Conservatives making such major national advances in vote share does look an extraordinarily difficult task and very much a long shot. So in at least 36 and probably 38 seats in Wales, the Liberal Democrats are simply not significant players. And UKIP are not significant players, I think, in any seat, so I haven't bothered to slide with them. Finally then, who will win? This is not my prediction of definitely what will happen on the day. This is simply projecting, using Uniform National Swing from the last Welsh Political Barometer poll, which seats will each party gain, hold, which will it lose? For the Labour Party, they have 25 seats. I'm used to having to do slides where kind of the Labour list of constituencies disappears right off the bottom of the slide. Just on the last poll, Labour would hold about 3/5 of what it has at the moment, but lose all 9 of these seats, including a whole clutch of seats in the northeast of Wales, and on Ynys Môn as well. So Labour would be wiped out in Wales north of Merthyr Tydfil and Rhymney. I mean, some of these seats on the projections, one or two of these, both losses and holds, are extremely tight. So there was certainly still a lot to play for and, you know, for the local campaigns to try and make a difference. But there are at least these 9 seats and probably a few others here, which we can maybe talk about, that are, I think, very much potentially in play. For the Conservatives, their slide is rather the converse of the Labour one. I mean, holding all the things that they currently have and gaining these same 9 seats. For both Plaid and the Liberal Democrats, the most recent poll just had them projected to hold what they currently have but make no advances. However, there will be another Welsh Political Barometer poll out on Monday, so perhaps that will suggest something a little bit different. But in the meantime, I think that's enough from me, and we look forward to a general discussion, some question and answer. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to Golai, a Cardiff University podcast. Subscribe in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from to have the next episode download automatically.